Hey there, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders podcast. Today we're talking about the Boys Club, the dumb leader we know as the Comfort King. Hey there, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders podcast. It's real! Ladies and gentlemen, it is real. The Boys Club. And the dumb leader that fosters the Boys Club, or its female equivalent, the Girls' Army, or get this, the Dyad, the Girls' Dyad. The dumb leaders that promote and foster to be surrounded by people that are like them. At best, they're polarizing. At worst, they are completely divisive. They exist. They exist in our corporate worlds. They exist in our business networks. They are as real as we want them to be. And they're the domain of the dumb leader. This dumb leader that we're sharing the story about surrounded himself with people just like himself. Many supported the same football team that he did, or at the very least were passionate about the game that they followed, the major game that they followed. They had same backgrounds, shared thoughts, shared experiences. It was almost like they were a shared consciousness. Similar beliefs, similar political ideals, and, well, at least that's the way that they played the game. The dumb leader that I knew created his team of followers within a large corporate business that I worked in at the time. He was my immediate boss, and he alienated me and others that didn't fit the mold. We didn't follow the sporting code that he did. We didn't have the same background. We didn't live in the right postcodes. We hadn't spent our entire career with the one company. We didn't follow the norm. The talk on a Monday morning centered around the weekend's games as the boys boosted their testosterone levels, relaying the moments of elation and the moments of disparity that existed in the game. And for those that weren't part of the club, they felt isolated. They felt alone. They did not feel part of the team. Now, it's natural that we connect with people, with some people more easily than others. You know, it may be from where we were born, it was maybe from where we live, it may be due to the sporting team we follow, it may be because we like a particular author, it may be because we like a movie. There are some people we connect with more naturally than others. That's a fact of life. But if you want to be a good leader, if you want to be a great leader, you need to build connection principles that enable you to connect with all members of your team, not just the ones that are like you. When you limit the ability of your team when you connect with people who are like you, you're missing different thoughts, different mindset, different challenges, different strengths. And you end up going down a very, very wrong road because people become yes men or yes ladies, and there's no constructivisms around decisions being made. Now, the scenario with the team that I worked in, we lurched from one drama to the next. We're always in crisis mode. Everyone in the team knew they weren't a team. And that is absolutely telling. Everyone in the team knew they weren't a team. They treated each other with suspicion. There was feigned cordiality. The Boys Club side of the equation had an easier life. They were questioned less in review meetings. They were asked to explain results less, and subsequently seemed to be less accountable. On the other side of the divide, the members of the team that were there were often interrogated at meetings. photos of problem sites in their locations were shared amongst the group. And mostly they were questioned on just about every anomaly. They often felt the brunt of blame as to why the entire team's results weren't being achieved. Now, the reality in that particular team was that the results from both sides of the divide were relatively even. The results from the boys' club side were often less, but they were relatively even than the ostracised side of the divide. However, that didn't stop the dumb leader, who indicated otherwise. The connection he felt with his boys blinded him and definitely made him ineffective. His attempts to build a productive team could only be described as feeble and were words only. Now, the team stood no chance, as the leader's behaviours did not match the words. And therefore, when in this particular case, where the words don't match the actions and behaviours, the leader came across as hypocritical. When the words and the actions didn't align, the leader comes across as hypocritical. Now, the team had constant churn. They lost managers consistently. And the venting within the ostracised team went on unabated. It was the only level of support that they felt that they had. While the churn was evident within the team, the managers that reported to the managers within the Great Divide, they picked up the inconsistencies, the alienation, and they were confused. So the line managers that reported to the more senior managers that were part of this divided team were confused. They were often manipulated by senior leaders, and they were in this constant state of to and fro, trying their best to serve two masters. They were also managers in name only. They were pretty much what I would call checklist kings. They had a checklist that they delivered every single day. They weren't leaders. They weren't there to motivate, inspire their team. They were there to follow a checklist. And with very little development being provided to them by that particular company, they had no idea what was going on. They were just confused and a huge lack of awareness. But what it created was this whole undercurrent of gossip and rumours. A whole undercurrent of gossip and rumours. The performance of the team, while satisfactory, never fulfilled the immense potential that the team had. Individually, solid performers, but none of them were engaged in vision or strategy. The boys' club were more intent on following the leader and agreeing with his every step. While the other side of the divide, they were isolated, they were alone, and they weren't connected to the vision or the strategy. So what do we do about that? So if you're a leader who naturally gravitates to a certain style of other leader, or has started to see or has even been thrown at that they've got a boys' club. You know, many leaders get told that we've got to stop the boys' club, but they don't believe it because they don't see it. So one of the first things that a leader has to have, of course, is awareness, self-awareness, and that awareness to be able to pick up emotions and perceptions from other people. That's huge. That's huge. So that they can understand that a boys' club or a potential boys' club is forming. Or worse. So self-awareness is probably one of the first things that a leader really needs to have within their toolkit to be aware of what's happening with themselves and then building that strength to be aware of what others are perceiving. The other thing that I would strongly suggest is that a leader's behaviours need to model the words. You just can't talk the talk, as the old saying goes. You must walk the walk. So if you want to build a productive, unified, aligned team, your behaviours And your actions have to support that, not just your words. So even those awkward, if you've got awkward people within your team, that's a huge opportunity for you to find some common ground and to build connection. And that starts to really highlight to the remainder of the team that your behaviors and your actions are in line with creating a better team. Now, this is Dumb Leader. What Dumb Leaders Do, number 8. And it will be available online in article form sometime later this week, with a 3-step strategy for you if you feel that you could be that leader. If you feel that you could be that leader, there'll be a 3-step strategy outlined in that article, and it will be published towards the probably Thursday of this week. And that's available at dumbleaders.com. The Dumb Leader, number 8, is the Comfort King. And they're the ones that build up the boys' club or the female equivalent, the girls' army or the dyad. Hey, look, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. I hope you've taken something of value away from that. And if you happen to share this with a leader that you believe could gain some benefit, please do. Please do. And don't forget, if you want to share some of your experiences, your readers' contributions about Dumb Leaders, please do so over at dumbleaders.com. Just click on the contact page and share your story. We'd love to hear it. We talk about those quite often. We'll provide a strategy on that dumb leader, how to work with that dumb leader, and if you were that dumb leader, what to do to get out of the mess that you're obviously in. That's what the Dumb Leaders Handbook is all about. That's what the Dumb Leaders Podcast is all about, providing strategies. We talk about mistakes. We talk about errors. And then we provide a strategy for you as a leader to get yourself out of the hole. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. It's bye for now.